to all commands from His Majesty, King Carver Zeldravel. The message purporting to have come from Princess Elisan is patently false. Teravan Zeldarvin was judged defective and destroyed, as was his defective son and the defective woman who brought him into Lebowan's realm. All commands are ordered to destroy their message books to stop the traitorous subversives who have the General of the Army's message book from spreading their seditious lies. For King Carvar Zeldravel, Colonel Davari Zelvestan. The message from the first of Caravia's forts came next. From Fort Kelbartal, King Carvar Zeldravel and his retinue passed through on his tour of ascension 3 days ago. He said King Teravan and Queen Rowena had been condemned and destroyed, along with their children. Please clarify your information and identity, Lord General Corlan Keldestar.
Let me have that book,
Princess Elisan demanded, and Stavin meekly handed it over. She sounded mad. To Fort Kelbartal. Lord General Corey, 10 years ago you played horsey for me when you were posted to the palace. Zeldravel murdered Mummy and Cal, and damn near killed Daddy too. Remember what you told me when you left. Trust the gods above. It's really me, and Zeldravel really did these things. Stop him, Ellie. She added her glyph and closed the book. Turning towards Stavin, she smiled.
Colonel Corey was the leader of my Daylight Protection Detail. He was sort of like an uncle to me, and he'll know this message was from me and no one else.
It was just a few breaths later that she received a reply. It began with a string of profanities and ended with, "I'm coming, my princess, Corey." More messages arrived moments later. They all had a common theme. We are mobilizing to Moravat. Stavin shook his head.
Tell them to go after Zeldravel, then come here after he's been caught.
Princess Elisan did as she was asked, but the replies remained the same, with one exception. Lord General Zel'Avan replied, I will comply when my king tells me with his own lips that I must bow to the Evandian prince. King Zeldravel threw in his 2 sparks with the order, all commands are ordered to remain in their forts. This is an effort to draw Caravia's defenses away from their proper place. Ignore all messages from the General of the Army's message book. It is in the hands of traitors seeking to destroy Caravia. Elisan groused,
I should have just given the orders in my own name, but mentioning you makes every one of them think they have to come here first and see for themselves.
Stavin growled in anger, but there was nothing he could do about it. Taking a deep breath, he ran through some mental exercises to calm down, then shook his head.
How long for the closest troops to reach us?
2 or 3 days, King Stavin.
He shouted,
Damn them!
And again visibly calmed himself before continuing.
If we must, we must. The first thing to do is see to your father's comfort.
He looked around.
Shall we go to the healers?
The entire royal family went out of the palace to where the healers had set up. People bowed deeply to Stavin, watching him warily as he passed. King Teravan's bed was set up toward the back corner, where he could be more easily guarded, and 20 Caravian cavalry troopers stood guard around him. Stavin went to his bedside and knelt.
"How are you this morning, King Teravan?"
he asked in a soft tone.
"I live, King Stavin,"
he answered in a barely audible voice.
"I live, and I will live."
Stavin smiled and bowed his head.
"I am so very happy to hear that, Your Majesty. We've come to take you to your suite."
"That is your suite now, King Stavin."
Stavin shook his head.
"No, it's the royal suite, and my family has moved into the prince's suite, but the king's suite is still yours. We want to move you into your own bed. You'll be more comfortable there."
King Teravan patted Stavin's hand.
"No wonder Kaelin speaks so highly of you."
Stavin looked up and found 3 healers watching him.
"You heard?
We heard, King Stephen. It will not hurt to move him so long as we are careful.
Stephen nodded and stood, then backed away a pace. Shari had summoned two hands of royal guardsmen as she passed, and now she motioned them forward.
Carry King Teravan on the litter. We'll transfer him to his bed when we get to the suite,
she commanded, and six of the men came forward, grasping the king's litter and lifting on the command. It was a long, slow walk to the royal suite, but that was because the men were taking great care not to jar the king. Stavian sent one man ahead to open the doors, and King Teravan was transferred to his bed without trouble. Stavian waved Avrin forward.
King Teravan, this is Avrin Felnala, my butler. Until we can secure the services of a trustworthy mage, only my servants will be allowed to tend to the royal family. Both our families.
What of your needs, King Stephen?
King Teravan asked, in a slightly stronger voice. Stephen waved Carlin forward.
My son has graciously agreed to have his valley see to both of us until I leave.
King Teravan looked closely at Stephen.
Where are you going, King Stephen?
I'm going after Zeldravel and his followers. Only the king can pass judgment on a priest, even one like him. I don't intend to waste the effort to bring him all the way back here just to execute him. When I find him, he'll be killed like the traitor he is.
King Teravan settled back into his pillows.
As you wish. It's been a long time since Caravia has had a true warrior king.
Carlin stepped forward and stopped by the king's bedside. Reaching out, he took the old king's hand in both of his and said,
King Teravan, can I call you Grandpa Terry?
The king looked startled, then a small, tender smile curved his lips.
I would be delighted. And what shall I call you?
Grandpa Keelan calls me Carly.
Stephen backed away as Carlin drew King Teravan out of his depression. He hadn't told Carlin what to do. The boy had an instinctive grasp of what needed to be done, and did it without prompting. Stephen smiled and eased out of the room while Carlin charmed the king. Stephen found General Zell Astel talking to the guards.
You have your instructions. Only the healers, the royal servants, or the royal family are to be allowed in the royal suite.
All 20 men and women snapped,
Yes, sir.
The general turned and bowed.
King Stephen, I understand that you will not be leaving for a few days. I consider that a good thing. I request permission to recruit new palace guards from the army units that are on their way here.
Stephen nodded.
Very well. Don't strip anyone command. There are at least 7 forces on their way here, so you should be able to be picky. With any luck, one of them will have an adept who can bind new royal guards and servants.
The general shook his head sadly.
Are you still determined to just take the Kel'Kavin guardsman with you?
Yes, but don't let it bother you. I'll have about 700 troops at my back.
The general gave Stephen a very eloquent look.
You know what your father is going to say about this, King Stephen.
Yes, but I think he'll agree that protecting the kids is more important. Besides, he'd probably be so angry about what's happened here that he'd take to the field himself, and to the deepest hell with protocol. He really dislikes the cutter.
General Zelastel sighed as he bowed.
Indeed, King Stephen. And you know as well as I do that General Zell Cordil would do everything he could to stop him.
Stephen had to agree.
Yes, but in the end, Keelan would march out of Twin Bridges anyway. He'd probably have Gavlin Zelfordel bring his entire command down to back him up.
You are probably right, King Stephen, you are probably right. At least you'll have an army behind you, even if it isn't ours.
Yes, but you know, it still makes me angry that I couldn't get Lord General Kel'Destar to just go get Zeldravel.
The general let a sardonic grin cross his face.
Yes, but you know that if someone claimed that King Caelin had abdicated in favor of Prince Khaldan, you would want to confirm the information yourself.
Stavin had to nod, and another deep sigh escaped from his lips.
Better to err on the side of caution than to wrongfully arrest a man claiming to be your king.
Stavin had to chuckle.
It could be a career-limiting mistake.
Possibly life-limiting, given Zeldravel's tendency to condemn anyone and everyone who opposes him,
the general pointed out. Stavin nodded.
You're right, of course. Add in that we have no idea who is with him, and how many followers he has.
Stavin shook his head.
We need more information.
Information trickled into Maravad in bits and pieces over the next 2 days, until Lord General Corlan Keldestar and his entire command, all 1,306 of them, arrived in Maravad. Lord General Keldestar and all of his men, except the support staff, made their way into the city and to the palace. He was met by a stranger in the uniform of a Royal Guard general.
General Keldestar, I am General Zel Astel. King Stavin and King Teravan are waiting for you in the king's bedroom.
I don't know you,
the general said in an uncertain tone.
Where is Lord General Zelnestal?
Dead. I arrived here as Major Warvin Zel Astel of the Avandian Royal Guard. King Stephen appointed me the General of the Caribbean Royal Guard until we can rebuild the force and return control to a Caribbean general.
Lord General Keldestar took a deep breath and held it for a moment before demanding,
Take me to my king.
General Zel Astel nodded, then said,
Please leave your weapons here, General. King Stephen is still upset by the events in Candalvad, and really doesn't trust anyone with weapons near the royal family.
What happened in Candalvad, mate? I beg your pardon, General.
General Zel Astel gave him a quick sketch of the incident, and at the end General Keldestar handed his sword and knives to his aide. Without another word, General Zel Astel led him into the palace and to the royal suite. King Teravan was awake, with Carlin and the twins sitting on his bed when they arrived. The king looked up and smiled.
Cory, I heard you were coming,
he said in a harsh whisper. Looking at the children, he said,
Let us have some privacy now.
All three said,
All right, Grandpa Terry,
then left the room. General Keldestar looked puzzled and asked,
Grandpa Terry?
Shut up, Cory,
the king snapped as the door closed.
You should have gone after Zeldravel immediately.
His voice was still barely above a whisper, but it was obvious that he was trying to shout.
Your Majesty, what happened to you?
Zeldravel and his priests tortured me, stoned Cal to death, and disemboweled Rowena. If King Stephen hadn't arrived when he did, I would have died, and Zeldravel would have reaped Ellie when he returned.
Corlan Keldestar went to his knees and bowed his head.
I offer my life in atonement for my error.
Oh, stand up, you ass,
the king snarled.
Ellie needs you now more than ever. So does Caravia. Averin,
the king said, looking past the general toward the door.
Invite King Stephen to join us.
Averin bowed and left, only to return a few breaths later. Stavin bowed, then asked,
How may I serve you, King Teravan?
By acting like a king, not a servant,
King Teravan said, but he was smiling.
This is Cory Keldestar. I want you to use him and his command to find Zeldravel. Cory?
The king paused until the general was looking at him again.
How many men do you have?
I brought everyone but a caretaking force of 20 men, Your Majesty.
King Teravan looked at Stavin and nodded.
then laid his head back, still glaring at the general.
"General Keldestar," Stavin began, "detach your 300 best infantry as the new palace guards. General Zelastel will be choosing from among them and training the new Caribbean Royal Guard. I expect your, and their, full cooperation."
General Keldestar looked Stavin in the eye, then bowed.
"As you command, King Stavin."
"Good. Now, since your decision to come here triggered the same response from 6 additional commands, issue orders for all commands. Wait. Which direction was Zeldravel going?"
"North and east, King Stavin."
"Good. Go see Princess Elisan and use the General of the Army's message book, and prepare to be yelled at."
Stavin's lips quirked up in an evil grin.
"She's kind of upset with you right now."
The general bowed to Stavin, then again to King Teravan before leaving. He hadn't cleared the door before Princess Elisan started screaming at him. Stavin looked over at the king and grinned.
"When she's finished with him, if he survives, I'd like to promote him to General of the Armies."
King Teravan chuckled.
"He's junior for the post, but Ellie knows and adores him, and he's young enough. Ellie will be comfortable with him."
Stavin walked over and took the king's hand.
"What are you seeing?"
"When the time comes, I'll take the crown back from you, but only until Ellie is ready to rule. Then she'll be queen, and I will go into seclusion. I can't function as king like this. Zeldravel has left me too terribly damaged to truly rule again."
He started crying and pushed Stavin away. Stavin walked to the door, looking Averin in the eye every step. Averin bowed as he opened the door, understanding Stavin's silent command. The king was to be healed, body and spirit. Stavin left the king's suite to find Princess Elisan still yelling at the general.
"And you still refuse to obey me?"
"Princess Ellie, you know I had to make sure you were safe first," he explained, apparently not for the first time from his tone. "And that no one was forcing you to write those things, or writing them in your name."
"But you let him get away."
"Princess, he isn't going far, and he isn't going fast. He's headed toward Fort Kelnorvan. I need that message book so I can confirm the order to capture him."
"Fine, take it. My orders aren't sufficient."
She gave him the book, slamming it into his belly, then stamping away. The general went to a side table and began writing. It wasn't long before he closed the book.
"Princess Ellie, the orders have been sent."
"Very well,"
she replied coolly.
"King Stavin, do you have any orders for the general?"
"He has his orders from your father, and my orders as well. You may go, General Keldestar. Have the troops report to General Zelastel before nightfall, and make sure they understand that he is in charge of the palace. We'll separate palace and royal guards later. You'd better include a few senior officers, but no one you're going to need in the field. Keep your mounted units intact. They'll be going with us."
The general bowed as he said,
"Yes, King Stavin."
When he was gone, Stavin looked at Elisan and grinned.
"He's been told to pick his 300 best fighters and leave them here to protect you. I'm going to ask for his most powerful battle mage as well."
She grinned and said,
"He'll cooperate, but I'll bet a gold crown that right now he wants to paddle my behind."
Stavin and Shari laughed.
"No bet,"
Stavin replied. Chapter 16. The answer to General Keldestar's message was expected, but not welcome. "General Keldestar, you are condemned. You are defective. That is obvious from your beliefs in the lies that whore spread before she was stopped. The whole Zeldarvin family was defective and had to be destroyed. Lebowan's anointed have, as is our right, seized the property of the condemned. Caravia is Lebawan's. King Carvar Bertal Nordam Zeldravel, High Priest of Lebawan. The next morning Stephen said goodbye in the king's suite.
I have to go after him. I have to find and stop him.
Be careful, Stevie,
Sherindis whispered as they hugged.
Come back to us.
I will.
Once the other generals arrive and meet with King Taravan, we'll have a huge force to bring against him.
Let me add my hopes that you return safely, King Stephen,
King Taravan whispered.
Remind Zeldravel that the only people he was allowed to judge were his followers, which did not include my family.
Stephen bowed his head. I'll remind him, Your Majesty, just before I kill him.
The king laid back and smiled.
That will do quite nicely.
Stephen knelt and hugged his children.
Be good and obey Mummy. I'll be back soon.
All three of them were crying, and it was all Stephen could do to stand and walk away. Karvik met him outside the suite.
I have all the warriors ready to go. General Keldestar has his mounted commands ready as well.
Good. I don't want to be limited by the speed of the foot soldiers again. We'll draw more mounted units from any forces we pass as well.
Karvik nodded. We need them, even with the cavalry, scouts and readers. We've still only got about 300 men, including us.
Stephen grinned and asked,
Does that mean I get to play?
Karvik shook his head sadly and asked in reply,
If I say no, will you behave?
No.
Then you can play, but be careful. I'd hate having to commit suicide because you did something silly like getting yourself killed.
Yeah, Arana threatened me once again before we left. I'll be good, but you know it may come down to a fight, and I may have to kill him myself.
The two friends laughed, mounted their horses and rode to the gate. Lord General Keldestar met them and bowed.
Per your orders, King Stephen, my mounted units and almost all of my officers are ready to ride. Everyone else has been detailed to guard the palace and city.
Stephen bowed slightly.
Very well, General. Let's get going before something else happens to keep us here.
The general nodded and signalled his scouts forward. Stephen, the royal guards, and the officers followed. Behind them rode 350 raiders and cavalrymen. Princess Elisan had spent most of the night personally assuring the troops that she and her father were in fact alive, in spite of what Zeldravel had said. She described what had been done to her brother and her mother with tears running down her cheeks. After hearing her, every man there was intent on finding and killing Carvar Zeldravel and those who supported him. The force travelled fast and light, eating bread, cheese, and sausage in the saddle. Stephen enforced the Kelkavin regime for riding and walking, and heard few complaints. Those he carefully didn't hear were quashed with comments like,
"He's the king now," and "The king's walking, so you can too."
They had been riding for 3 days before they encountered another command. Stephen called a halt and let General Keldestar ride forward alone.
"Halt where you are,"
an outrider shouted.
"I am Lord General Colan Keldestar of Fort Kelbartal. Where is your general?"
The man looked at the general's uniform in wide-eyed amazement for an instant, then said,
"Lady General Zelpardin is with her staff, sir."
The man finally replied,
"Have someone inform her that I'm here. I'll wait."
The man bowed deeply, then backed his horse before turning and riding away. It was just over a span later that the drumming of many running horses could be heard, and moments after that, more than 100 cavalry troops came into view. Leading them was a knot of officers. They came to a stop, and one rider dismounted and walked forward.
"Cory, what in the name of all the gods are you doing? What was that message all about? Are you trying to get yourself stoned?"
General Keldestar held both hands out to calm her down.
One question at a time, Revy. Just calm down.
Lady General Revelar Zelpardin stopped and removed her helmet.
You had better have a damn good reason for this, Corey, or I'm going to have to arrest you.
If you stop yelling at me, I'll explain.
After her glare, he began speaking. He finished half a span later with,
So Zeldravel had no right to examine or condemn the royal family. Terry abdicated in favor of Prince Stephen, and King Stephen has already pledged to abdicate to Terry or Ellie when Caravia is free.
Gods below, Corey. You read what the message book said.
I did, but you read what I wrote as well. Revy, I've talked to King Teravan and Princess Elisan. I was Ellie's guardian for 6 years. I know her as well as I know my own daughter. No one is manipulating her or Terry.
How can you be sure?
General Keldestar grinned.
Well, for one thing, I think anyone manipulating her would make her watch her mouth. She curses worse than you do. The other is that King Teravan was ready to have me busted to private for not going after Zeldravel before going to Moravat.
Gods below, Corey. Gods above and below. Very well, I know you, and I know King Teravan.
She paused, then asked,
Is Terry really going to be all right?
As she stepped forward to grasp his arm,
The healers say he will be. King Stephen had him moved to the royal suite, to his own bed for protection and treatment. King Stephen's family is in the prince's suite.
General Zelpardin's head tilted to the side as she said,
That's surprising.
Now General Keldestar's smile relaxed, and he shook his head.
Once you spend some time with him, you'll realize that it isn't.
When Stavin and his army left Moravad, Charindis took on the duties of the Queen of Caravia. Fortunately, her training in Twin Bridges, as well as her natural talent for organization, let her take over easily. Princess Elisan was always there to support her as well. Shari's first concern was to re-establish the king's council and retake control of the kingdom. In this she relied on Elisan for the names of good, loyal lords and ladies to speak with.
Some of these ministries don't need to be filled right away, but some of them are needed now. Interior, justice, trade, agriculture, and transportation would be my first picks.
Princess Elisan nodded.
Yes, and we need a general of the armies as well.
Charindis nodded.
Stephen said something about that before he left, but not who he favored. Since he's going to be out in the field with several generals, let's let him make that decision.
Princess Elisan nodded.
I know who I'd like, but you're right. King Stephen or my dad should make that decision.
Shari nodded and glanced toward the king's suite, then turned back to Princess Elisan. They were using the anteroom of the royal suites as an office to avoid splitting up the royal guards. By rights, Shari and Ellie were both supposed to have 20 guards assigned to them all the time, and each of the children were supposed to have 10. But after Stavin and Karvik left with all of the Kel'Kavin-born guardsmen, there were only 43 of Andean royal guards left. Shari shook her head and asked,
So who do we have to choose from to fill these ministries?
Princess Elisan looked at the list on the table in front of her, then picked it up.
Stardis Zelgestan was an assistant to Minister of the Interior Zelnaldal. She knows the ministry best.
Good idea,
Shari agreed.
We promoted several assistants to ministers' positions after the lords tried to depose Keelan.
And bringing in some leaders settled the council down, to some extent.
So, Lady Stardis Zelgestan as Lady Minister of the Interior. I think Stevie would prefer another master trader in trade. Are there any chosen involved in trade?
Princess Elisan looked through some papers on the table.
There was one. There, Lord Halnan Zeljetam owns the Zeljetam Trading House, and he had an appointment to see Lord Zelnerval.
Shari nodded.
So we'll appoint Lord Halnan Zel Jetam as Lord Minister of Trade. Then he can discuss his problems with himself.
Shari grinned as Ellie giggled.
Agriculture is easy,
Princess Elisen said with a small, tender smile.
Oh?
Charindis asked with her head tilted to the side.
A friend of mine. He's a horticulturalist at the King's Academy of Science. His parents were... Oh, gods!
She choked.
His parents were killed here.
Shari reached over and took her hand gently.
Ellie, a lot of people lost their parents here. The only thing we can do for you and them is to keep that bastard from turning Karevia into Lebowan's hell.
Princess Elisan's chin was quivering, but she clenched her jaws and nodded.
Meral Zel Vetlan knows agriculture. He's my recommendation. Very well. Lord Meral Zel Vetlan is Lord Minister of Agriculture.
Princess Elisan set her list down and looked Charindis in the eyes.
Why are you letting me make all the decisions?
Shari smiled and shook her head.
You know these lords and ladies, and I don't. They are your people, and, when Stephen has dealt with Zeldravel and his pack of mad dogs, he's giving you your kingdom back. You, Princess Elisan, and your father are going to be relying on these men and women to get your kingdom back on course. The decision of who you rely on should be yours.
The princess thought about that for a moment, then bowed her head and whispered,
"Gods above keep King Stephen strong."
Then she looked at Shari and smiled.
"I'd almost forgotten that you and King Stephen are not going to be remaining in Karevia. But Dad is so terribly hurt. The healers see he's mending well." "It's not his body,"
Elisan whispered, as she looked down to where she was clenching her hands together in her lap.
"It's his spirit. Zeldravel broke him. He tortured Dad and killed Mum and Cal. I keep catching him crying when I go to see him. I'm not sure he'll let King Stephen abdicate."
She wiped a tear from her eye with a vicious flick of her fingers.
"If that happens,"
Charindis said very gently,
"then we will stay until you are ready to accept the crown."
She took both of Elisan's hands in hers.
"Ellie, we don't want a kingdom. We sort of have one."
She smiled as Elisan chuckled.
"Stephen's sense of duty is such that he had to accept the crown from your father because Karevia needed him. But that same sense of duty will make him give it back, either to your father or you, because you are the rightful rulers of Karevia."
Princess Elisan sniffed and nodded, then rubbed her nose on her sleeve. Looking at her list again, she hummed,
"Justice is a hard one. All of Lord Zelperion's assistants were killed." "Is there a Lord Sheriff of Moravad?"
Shari asked.
"Yes, but he's young. His father was Lord Sheriff, and he was his assistant. He's only held the office for 2 years, and honestly, I don't like him."
When Charindis looked curious, she explained,
"He and his father tried to get Dad to betroth us without asking me."
She gave Shari a sour look.
"Don't laugh." "What's wrong with him?"
Shari asked as gently as she could.
"He's an idiot, and a follower of Lebowan." "Oh, definitely not him, then. Maybe when you get the chance you should replace him with someone better, especially now. As the Minister of Justice, how about a magistrate?"
Princess Elisan thought for a moment, then nodded again.
"I can think of one good, honest magistrate in Moravad who would be perfect. But she's not chosen. She's of Clan Kel'Martal."
Shari tilted her head to the side and smiled.
"Unless you can show me where it is written that only the chosen are eligible for appointment to the King's Council, I think we should consider her."
Princess Elisan thought for a moment, then shook her head.
I don't think it's a written law. It's just customary. That's almost harder to get around, but we did it in Evandia. For now, in order to get a functioning council in place, I think she's the best choice.
Princess Elisan was giving Charindis a very intense look.
How can you say that when you don't even know her? Because you know her well enough, and have enough faith in her, to propose her even when you thought I'd reject her for not being chosen. Remember, Ellie, Stephen and I were not born chosen either. We're both from cat clans.
Princess Elisan shook her head.
I had forgotten that. You seem so natural in your role as Queen Charindis.
Shari chuckled.
Years of practice at Princess Marina's side, and sitting in on the King's Council as Stephen's assistant. But I think she's the right choice for now. If it turns out that she's not, she can go back to being a magistrate. You still haven't told me her name. Mary Death Kilmartel. Very well. Lady Mary Death Kilmartel as Minister of Justice.
Shari wrote the name on the list.
Now, who for transportation? Well, since you're letting me have my choices, I choose Lady Annalisa Zell-Cortal. She's not much older than I am, but she's been at the Academy studying civil engineering for 2 years. Meryl, Anna and I used to play in the garden together with the other palace children.
Shari nodded and wrote the name on her list.
Very well. Lady Annalisa Zell-Cortal as Lady Minister of Transportation. I think that's all we need for now.
Princess Elisan shook her head.
That's only 5, with you as the 6th. We should have an odd number. We do,
Shari said. She looked at the girl and grinned.
Who? You.
Princess Elisan's voice squeaked as she asked,
Me? You. You are the last scion of Zeldarvin. You are crown princess by right now, because you are the only child. Sorry, but it's true. You will not be allowed to serve in the army, not with just you and your father left of the royal family. This is your kingdom. Stephen and I are holding it in trust for you and your father, but the Zeldarvin family is still the Caribbean royal family. It's time you took a more active part in the governance of your kingdom, and preparing for when you will be Queen of Caribbean in your own right. Playtime's over.
The two forces camped where they had met, and Stavin called for all the officers to join him after they had eaten.
Lords and ladies, I am Stavin Zel'Andral. By the will of King Teravan, I am King of Caribbean. For the time being, at least.
He paused and looked around at the Chosen. They did not look happy.
You've all been told what happened in Moravad. By the laws of Caribbean, Zeldravel does not have the right to subject anyone but his followers to Lebowan's judgment. His murder of Queen Rowena and Prince Kaldan was nothing short of that, and his seizure of the Caribbean crown was illegal and an act of treason.
A tall colonel snapped to his feet and demanded, "What do you mean for the time being?" He paused, then added, "King Stephen." Stephen looked the man in the eye and said,
"Once Zeldravel is seen to, I intend to abdicate and return the crown to King Teravan or Princess Elisan." "You would renounce the crown?"
the colonel asked in a stunned whisper.
"Happily. I have a kingdom to go home to, and I have no desire to unite Caribbean and Evandia. But you and I, my lords and ladies, have to take Caribbean back from Carvar Zeldravel first."
A tall young woman stood next.
"Prince Stephen, I mean King Stephen, what proof do we have that you are really the king?"
Stephen bowed, then motioned to General Kildestar. The general stood and said,
"King Teravan told me, in his own words, that he abdicated in favour of King Stephen so there would be a warrior on the throne to defeat Zeldravel and his followers."
"Melisan,"
a high voice said from the shadows,
"it's the truth."
Lady Dana looked at the gathered officers as she walked forward.
"Indeed it is," Lady Sarah Lee said as she joined her. "Zeldravel murdered my brother Alden for being Ave-Ah. He and about 30 of his friends, who had reopened an old copper mine in our lands. We travelled to Moravad with Prince Stephen, and had to rescue the king and the few chosen who had survived being thrown into the dungeons."
"They murdered my betrothed,"
Lady Dana said in a tear-choked voice.
"They beat him and left him to drown in his own blood from a punctured lung. All because he wouldn't bow to Lebowan."
A young man was pushing his way to the front.
"Dina, please tell me you aren't..."
"I saw him, Efran," she screamed. "I found him in the dungeons. I talked to the men who were imprisoned with him."
She broke down and cried for a moment.
"Your big brother is dead, Efran. You are now the heir presumptive of Zel'Kendan."
Lady General Zel'Pardin stood and walked forward so everyone could see her.
"We are faced with an unprecedented situation. Two men, neither related to Clan Zel'Darvin, claim to be the king. However, we have the sworn word of General Kel'Destar, and the heir of Zel'Karin, that our good King Teravan abdicated in favour of Stephen Zel'Andral, a dragon-blessed prince of Evandia. He is also, by the stars he wears, a senior warmaster, which makes him the highest-ranking officer here. I find King Stephen's argument far superior to that of the priest Zel'Dravel."
Turning towards Stephen, she bowed deeply.
"What are your commands, King Stephen?"
Stephen stood and returned the bow before issuing his orders. "Separate your mounted units and officers. The rest of your command is to continue on to Moravat and reinforce the palace guards. Marching rations are to be distributed to the mounted units, as much as they can carry. We'll forage or purchase anything else we need."
"Yes, King Stephen. And who do I leave in command?"
Stephen raised an eyebrow, then shrugged.
"Your second in command."
The general smiled.
"Major Zel'Valtan will fill in for me nicely. She is, by the way, a cousin of the queen."
A tall woman stood and moved to the general's side, but she never took her eyes off Stephen. Stephen bowed his head before saying,
"Major, you have our sympathies on the loss of your cousins, and you have your orders. General Zel'Astel has orders concerning any commands that reach Moravat before we retake the kingdom."
"Zel'Astel, King Stephen?"
the major asked, with her head tilted to the side. Stephen shrugged one shoulder.
"Major Warvin Zel'Astel of the Evandian Royal Guard. I promoted him as the commander of the Karevian Royal Guard until a Karevian general can be found and bound as the new commander."
"Yes, King Stephen,"
she replied with a bow, then returned to her command. The force separated in the morning, and Stephen found himself in direct command of nearly 700 mounted troops. Lady General Zel'Pardin joined Lord General Kel'Destar at Stephen's side, and together the force headed northwest to intercept Zel'Dravel and his followers. Chapter 17. A group of more than 30 armored men and women marched up the street in front of the palace. Behind them came a group of unarmed women in an assortment of blue robes. They reached the palace gates and stopped. In an instant, 30 men in Royal Guards uniforms, Evandian and Karevian, ran to confront them.
"That's close enough,"
an older man shouted, as his hand rested on the hilt of his sword. His uniform seemed a bit tight, but he looked ready to do violence on his king's behalf. The men and women stopped in the street. Then one woman took a step closer. She spoke loudly as she announced,
"I am Knight of Justice Kel'Karin Kel'Distan, Grand Counselor of the Moravad Temple of Justice. We wish to speak to King Stephen."
General Zel'Astel made his way to the gates and looked at the woman.
"King Stephen has gone after the traitor Zel'Dravel."
"And the queen?"
the Grand Counselor asked as she looked at the general.
Queen Charindis is trying to get the business of the kingdom in order.
Now another woman stepped forward. She was wearing the deep blue robe of a senior priestess of Lady Sarin. She stopped beside the Grand Counselor and pulled the cowl of her robe back. She was very old, with white hair and deep wrinkles on her face, but her eyes were a piercing bright blue.
"I am Betaline Felcastle, shepherdess of Lady Sarin's flock in Caravia."
Most of the guardsmen took a step back and went to their knees. General Zelastel went to one knee and gazed up at her.
"Shepherdess, we feared the worst when we could not find you or your sisters in the lady's temple."
The shepherdess bowed her head briefly.
"We were warned a day ahead of Zeldravel's attack and fled. The Knights of Justice took us in, hiding and protecting us from Lebowan's mad dogs."
She shook her head.
"They still desecrated our temple and burned the Lady Tree, but we were safe."
She smiled at the woman beside her. General Zelastel bowed his head.
"I must inform Queen Charindis that you are here."
"I already heard, Warven,"
Shari said as she walked up beside him. She smiled at the shepherdess and bowed her head.
"We are very happy to see that you survived the attack, shepherdess. General Zelastel, allow the shepherdess and her sisters to enter the palace."
The general looked at her and asked,
"And the knights?"
Shari smiled.
"The Knights of Justice are one of the oldest orders from the time of Lux. I think they have shown their loyalty to Caravia by protecting the shepherdess and her sisters."
General Zelastel closed his eyes for a moment, then nodded.
"As you command, Queen Charindis. Open the gates, men."
There was little hesitation from the royal guards. Like many of their peers, most of them were followers of Lady Sarin. None of them followed Lebowan. And the Knights of Justice, everyone trusted them implicitly. Queen Charindis went up to the shepherdess and smiled, then drew gasps of outrage from many of her Caravian guardsmen when she went to her knees and bowed her head.
"Shepherdess, we offer thanks to your lady for the salvation of Caravia."
The shepherdess seemed a bit surprised, but she covered it well.
"We offer thanks in return for the safety of our king and princess, and for the delivery of Caravia from Lebowan's hands."
Shari rose to her feet and smiled up at the shepherdess. Betaline was at least a hand taller than Charindis.
"The army contingent with us sent men looking for you once the palace was secure. Their description of what was done to your temple, such wanton destruction and desecration."
"Yes,"
the shepherdess agreed, then sighed.
"But the temple was built up from a rough hut during the founding of Moravad, and can be rebuilt. When we are certain that Zeldravel is not coming back, we will do so again."
Now Shari became a queen.
"King Stephen is chasing him with almost 700 picked troops. The traitor Zeldravel will not return a free man, if he returns at all. Stephen is planning on just executing him when he catches him."
The shepherdess looked at her with an intensity that made some of the guardsmen uncomfortable. Shari, however, simply met her gaze directly.
"Is he really that confident?"
Shari chuckled.
"Stephen is always confident. He isn't always right, but he is always confident. He has the heir of Zelkarin at his side, as well as two generals. He doesn't think he has as many men as Zeldravel, but his people are all soldiers. A lot of Zeldravel's followers are priests and simple commoners who chose to follow Lebowan's ways. He already believes he has a superior force."
"And do you believe that, Queen Charindis?"
the shepherdess asked softly. Shari nodded.
"I believe any force Stephen leads is superior. I can't even think otherwise."
The shepherdess nodded and looked at the Grand Counselor.
Hell, let's go to the temple and see what we can do there.
The Grand Councillor smiled and nodded.
Very well, Aunt Bertoline.
Shari looked surprised and said,
Aunt Bertoline?
The shepherdess smiled and nodded.
My little sister's eldest. Perhaps now you see why we fled to her temple.
Shari smiled and said,
I do. I do indeed.
Chapter 18. It took 3 days to get the new King's Council assembled. There had been a few minor problems, such as convincing Lord Merrill to leave his research project behind, and an objection to Meredith Kelmartel by Lord Zeljetam because she wasn't chosen, but nothing that a soft word from Queen Sharindis couldn't solve. Queen Sharindis convened her first council session in the family room of the royal suites.
"Lords and ladies of the council,"
she began softly,
"we are meeting here so you may all see that King Taravan is indeed alive. He is, however, still very weak from his injuries. Keep your voices low and do not demand much from him. He doesn't have much left to give."
All five of the ministers nodded their agreement. Then Shari led them into the king's bedroom. King Taravan was propped up on his pillows, and even Shari was shocked by his gaunt, haunted appearance. He hardly seemed alive until she looked into his eyes. The fire she saw there was the first positive sign she'd seen from the king.
"Friends," he began in a harsh whisper, "Ellie and Queen Shari have asked me to speak to you. Listen to me now. It was my decision and my decision alone that transferred the crowns to King Stephen and Queen Sharindis. Caravia needs a strong king to take back what Zeldravel has stolen. It will be a long time before even the healer adepts can fix what they did to me. Give your allegiance to King Stephen and Queen Shari."
He stopped speaking and seemed to be struggling to breathe. Three healers rushed forward to tend the king while Elisan and Sharindis all but pushed the ministers out of the room. Princess Elisan looked at the ministers and said,
"You see what that miserable bastard did to my father? He murdered Mum and Cal and tortured Dad almost to death."
"We see, Princess Elisan,"
Lord Zeljetam said in a hushed tone.
"I never would have believed it if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes."
"Which is why we met here today,"
Sharindis whispered back.
"Now let's go to the council chamber."
The group remained silent until they reached the king's council chamber. 10 new royal guards, still in their army uniforms, were guarding the doors, and they came to attention as the council arrived. Sharindis took the queen's chair at the table, leaving the king's chair vacant. Princess Elisan took the chair at Shari's right hand. When the councillors didn't seem to know where to sit, Shari said,
"There isn't much point in arguing who sits where until the full council can be appointed, so just sit where you want."
All five of the ministers shared a glance, then just sat in the nearest chairs. Shari nodded to each of them, then focused her attention on Meredith Kelmartel.
"Justice, the first thing we are going to need is a ruling on Zeldravel's inspecting and condemning men and women who are not followers of Libawan, especially the royal family."
"I can answer that without any research, Your Majesty," she replied, looking Sharindis in the eye as she spoke.
"The only people the priests of Libawan are allowed to examine are their followers. That's been the law since Caravia was still a province of the Empire."
Sharindis was nodding.
"As we were first informed. Are we in agreement that Carvar Zeldravel was acting illegally when he examined and condemned Prince Kaldan, and through him Queen Rowena and King Taravan?"
Every head nodded, and Sharindis wrote on a piece of parchment at her side,
"A proclamation to that effect is to be sent throughout the kingdom. We've been told that Zeldravel sent out a proclamation naming himself king. This one is going to require the seal and signature of all of us."
Minister Kelmartel asked,
"What if King Stephen fails?
Charindis shook her head slowly.
I find that idea extremely unlikely. Stephen has already met and joined with a second force, commanded by Lady General Zelpardin. He is also accompanied by the heir of Zelkarin, with the sword Sangdaldrakul at her side. Will he be taking up Sangdaldrakul?
Lady Annalisa asked. Charindis shook her head again.
No. Aside from not knowing how Dandar Shandrake's magic might interact with that of the dragon on the mountain, there is also the curse on Sangdaldrakul that only a member of the Zelkarin family can hold it to consider. Meredith Zelkarin described watching two men slowly die while their bodies turned to crystal when they grabbed it. Stephen won't risk dying like that.
Forgot about that,
Lady Annalisa muttered.
We haven't. Stephen's hope, and mine as well, is that we will be able to turn the entire army against Zeldravel and present him with such overwhelming opposition that he'll surrender. What we want to avoid as much as possible is Karevians killing Karevians. A civil war with the kingdom in the balance wouldn't do any of us any good.
All of the ministers nodded, so Charindis changed the subject.
Lord Halnan, trade has been disrupted and needs to be re-established. Do what you think needs to be done, within reason, to get the Traders Guild moving again.
Yes, Queen Charindis. Once I find out where my office is, I'll summon the Traders Guild Master Council for a meeting.
Whatever it takes, within reason,
Queen Charindis reiterated. Then, turning her attention to Lady Annalisa, she nodded once.
Transportation. Trade needs you active as well. Our roads and waterways absolutely must be kept up. You and the rest of you as well will be allowed to appoint two assistants of your choice. After we adjourn, consider who you want. I encourage all of you to consider members of lesser clans as well as chosen candidates. You and Lord Merrill must have known many qualified people at the King's Academy.
Lady Annalisa stood and bowed.
Yes, Queen Charindis. Lady Stardis,
Shari said, as she shifted her attention.
You're going to be very busy for a while. Zeldravel proclaiming himself king must have caused a lot of confusion and unrest in the kingdom. You and Lady Meredith are going to have to work together to quell the priests of Lebowan and restore order throughout the kingdom. Trade,
Princess Elisande said softly.
The reason King Stephen and Queen Charindis came to Morrowvad was because we need to arrange shipments of grain and other foodstuffs from the other kingdoms.
She looked at Shari and tilted her head to the side.
We still need that. The harvest was poor last fall, and we're running short. People are eating the seed that they should have planted.
Shari thought for a moment, then nodded. Looking at the Minister of Trade, she said,
Have our Traders Guild contact the Avandia and Luxandian Traders Guild, and ask the gold merchants to come visit me. I have a message to send.
She smiled at Elisan.
I can order Kel'Aniston to start shipping immediately.
The famous Fort Zelkarin, named in honor of hero of Karevia Lady Meredith Zelkarin, stood on a wide plain. Stavin had the generals send their scouts forward to announce their arrival, but in just a few moments several of the troopers rode back at a gallop.
General Zelpardin!
The closest rider shouted.
It's a slaughter!
Stavin signalled a halt, and waited for the lieutenant to stop. Lady General Zelpardin looked the man in the eye and simply said,
Report!
The gates are open, and there are hundreds of bodies inside. The rest of the troops are investigating the fort, but we thought you should be informed immediately, ma'am.
The general turned towards Stephen and asked,
Your orders, King Stephen. We continue to the fort and see what we and the Magi can find out.
He looked down at his saddle horn and whispered,
I'm afraid I know what we're going to find.
Both generals bowed and began issuing orders. When they neared the walls, Stephen ordered,
We camp out here, double the sentries, and let me know when we're ready to enter the fort.
Both generals bowed again as they said, "Yes, King Stephen," then began detailing their